This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. On today's show, we're going to explore the legal implications of 3D printed guns, the importance of breastfeeding, and we'll meet a local man whose independent film called Peacekeeper was recently screened at the Cannes Film Festival. But first, 3D printed guns. A Texas company called Defense Distributed wants to publish plans it created that allow people with certain kinds of 3D printers to make their own guns at home. A federal judge temporarily blocked the release last week after a number of states filed suit, arguing that the technology would allow criminals to build untraceable firearms. But it might already be too late. The plans were downloaded more than 100,000 times before they were pulled and are already available elsewhere on the internet. Legal experts say this situation is pretty much uncharted territory with First Amendment implications. We're joined now by one of those legal experts, Dr. Pamela Say. She is the professor of justice studies at Florida Gulf Coast University. Pamela, thanks for being with us today. Welcome back to the show.
Well, hello. Thank you very much for inviting me on.
Well, and always, we invite everyone to join in our conversation. The number to call is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag of GCL. So I want to apologize, Dr. Pamela C. I mispronounced your name the first time around. I apologize for that. I should know better by now.
Well,
I should know better by now. It's not like we haven't talked a million times. Well, I wanted to ask you first if you could give me a bit of an overview of this story with printing guns.
Well, sure, I'd be happy to. This is not something incredibly new, though relatively new. About 5 years ago, the company Defense Distributed came up with these plans for printing a gun using the 3D printers. Well, you can buy a 3D printer now. You could probably pick one up for a couple thousand dollars, and you can pick up the plans off of the internet and print yourself a gun. It doesn't take long, about anywhere from 18 hours to about 2 or 3 days, depending on the quality of the item that you're attempting to print, and it creates a weapon. From what I've seen of it, the weapons that I've seen operational have been made of plastic. The plastic is relatively heavy duty, and of those people I've done the research on to find out whether or not they would actually use them themselves, their answer has been no.
Yeah, I'm wondering, I kind of thought guns had to be made out of metal because of the heat when you fire it.
And that is one of the concerns. Now, there are certainly some polymers that can withstand that kind of heat. However, when you're looking at the method of manufacture, and the structural soundness is simply not there. I was looking at one a couple days ago as they were printing it out. And when it was done, immediately after it was done, the handle started to crack, just by the process of the printing itself. So the technology is not as good as you would like to think. It's plastic. And can it shoot a bullet, some ammunition? Yes, it probably can. Are you going to trust your hand, your life, to this little piece of plastic? Personally, I would not. And from what I've gathered in my research, more people than not would say, no, we're not going to do this. I understand there's a company up in up near Tampa Bay that actually has the plans, actually has the printer, and has printed some, and you know they've managed to get a hold of it, and they were analyzing its ability to shoot. So the accuracy is very poor. For those who are familiar with guns, there's the rifling inside the barrel is what's going to help keep your bullet straight. Well, there's no rifling in these guns. So if you're more than 20 yards away, it's not going to hit what you want. You know that the old it can't hit the broadside of a barn. Well, this is probably the case.
I would be concerned that it might blow your hand off too.
Well, that would be my concern. When I was looking at some of these weapons that had been manufactured or had been made through that process, they were not sturdy. And after one use, they were broken. After simply printing it, there were cracks in the plastic. So obviously the quality of the plastic has to be improved. I've been reading a little bit, too. This is not firsthand knowledge on my part, but I have been reading about some that are 3D printed using a metal form, and that these have been made and have been used, but I'm not sure of the extent. And those are made by manufacturers. They're not by individuals. So there are means by which it can be made. So this is not truly all new. There are some opportunities for this kind of technology. And I think that's really what we're looking at first and foremost, is this is a new kind of technology being used in the manufacture of firearms. And whether or not it should be given to everybody, well, that's part of the question.
So then that leads me to the First Amendment debate on this. I mean, there's the freedom of speech and the freedom of the ability to communicate things to other people, but then where does that freedom end as far as what if you're putting out, you know, instructions for saying it's a gun, but it in fact is going to be something that is going to blow your hand off if it's not safe? I mean, what kind of regulations are there for that?
Well, you know, you're talking about a whole lot of different arenas. I'll start first with the First Amendment, looking at just the publication of the plans. Now, if you look back a number of years, there was this almost the same discussion talking about, of all things, the manufacture of nuclear weapons. And they said, well, we can never put that on the Internet. Oh, my gosh, it can't be there. But the fact is, it's there. That's already there. So if you're looking at saying that you can't do it, things are being done that we don't want done.
So the precedent is already there.
The precedent is already existent. Now, with a nuclear weapon, it's nigh on to impossible to get a hold of the materials that you need. So, you know, when we're arguing that situation, it was much different. Looking at this one, however, it's possible to gather that equipment. You and I can do it today if we wanted to. Those plans were published on the Internet back in 2013. Those plans are out there. Like you said in your introduction, there's over 100,000 times it was downloaded.
Yeah.
Well, how many times were those plans shared? I'm sure that the person who downloaded it didn't keep it to him or herself. That someone out there has those plans, and obviously the fellow up in Tampa Bay has them. Obviously, there are a lot of other people that do as well. Now, the First Amendment says if you're publishing something, we're not going to censor you. But there are times when you can censor something, and you know we've all heard about the stories. You can't yell fire in a crowded theater. Well, the reason for that is for the welfare and the safety of the people in that room. Well, if we're looking at the safety and welfare of people in general, is this a safety concern?
And that's where I'm concerned about, like, not only the safety of keeping guns out of people's hands that are intending to do harm with them, but the harm to the person printing the gun that's not really safe for them to even use.
Right, and that's going to be a concern about the person who actually created those plans. And you know, we've got some protections in place. You can sue because he has given you bad plans. But then, did you do them correctly? Did you print them properly? Did you use the appropriate equipment? Was your plastic the right kind? So, you know, there's a lot of questions. There has to be a lot of instructions. I mean, how many times have you seen a ladder that says, do not step on this top step? There's warnings that would have to be included. And, you know, from a lawyerly perspective, that's certainly the case. But, you know, what you're saying is a very important and valid concern. Is that we're putting something in people's hands that they are not prepared for, they're not ready for, they're not trained for. When you buy a gun, you anticipate and hope that you may never use it for any ill intent. But if you're going to take it out to a firing range, you better know how to use it. You have to know how to load it. You have to know how to clean it. You have to know how to aim it. You have to know how to hold it. I mean, there's a whole range of things that you need to know, and you're not getting that when you're all of a sudden printing a gun off the Internet, saying, oh, boy, I have a weapon.
But are people actually even required to have all of that type of training before they buy a gun?
Required, no.
Yeah.
Especially not in Florida. In Florida, just about anybody can. If you want to buy one, you can buy one. I think there's certain minor restrictions, but yeah, if you want one, you can buy one.
Is it currently illegal to make your own gun at home?
No.
So then,
no,
what,
it is not.
What makes this different then is the technology that makes it easier.
Well, that's one thing, but what the one thing that ordinarily a manufacturer of weaponry, if they're manufacturing a firearm, they will imprint it with a serial number. And if you take a look at the U.S. Code on Title 26 in the U.S. Code, you're going to be looking at rules that require some kind of registration for a firearm. Well, if you don't have a serial number on the firearm, you still are required to register it, federal register. Many people don't, but it's still required. And if you don't have a serial number, you must request from the Secretary of the Treasury. Now, I'm well aware that there are a lot of people who simply don't do that.
Yeah.
But in this particular instance, it's very clear whether you're a manufacturer, an importer, or a maker of a firearm. If you are printing one out from plans on the Internet, you are making a firearm, which puts you under that federal statute. So, theoretically, you're supposed to be registering that firearm. The concern is that someone is not going to, they're not going to register it.
That would be very difficult to enforce.
Exactly. How do you follow up on somebody that's just downloaded something from the Internet? Is there going to be a new rule required that if you are placing these rules, these plans on the Internet, that you have to notify the federal government every time somebody downloads it? Well, how does that apply to somebody that you downloaded to next?
I don't know. That might take some technical infrastructure, because I know when I try to click on too many articles at a newspaper, they can sure track that down.
Yes, I know. I got that this morning when I was trying to do some research, too. And, you know, you're on your third article, you better pay. So there are ways in which it can be done. But if I'm downloading from the one site, that's easy. But I download it to my computer. I offload it to my jump drive. I put that in a new computer. Who's going to track it now?
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like Pandora's box has been opened, and there's just no way to shove the toothpaste back in the tube,
right,
to use many, many comparisons or cliches.
I like that.
But the thing is, it's out there. But, I mean, are we concerned about something that may not... Because it doesn't sound like these guns are that great anyway. So are we getting concerned about something prematurely, or are we getting the table cleared so that we can actually handle it when it does become a serious thing where an actual gun that could do a significant amount of harm could be printed at home?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. And addressing it now is probably the best approach. If you take a look at the plans that are available now and say, well, no, it's not going to hurt anybody. Don't worry. They're going to blow their hands off. They can't shoot anyway. Don't worry about it. Let them put it up. Well, there you have your precedent.
Yeah.
So that when those rules, or excuse me, when those plans become better, when the equipment becomes better, when the materials become appropriate, well, all of a sudden, everybody can have their own gun in their own home. So I think having a rule now, putting it in place now, would be a much better solution than just sort of letting it slide or saying, don't worry about it, it's not a big deal, and having something come along later. You know, I'm not necessarily a proponent of a lot of registrations and a lot of rules, but there are many rules that need to be in place when it comes to firearms.
Do you think this is going to be something that's going to be settled by the courts, or do you think it's going to take federal legislation?
I believe it should be legislation. This is something that should be decided by our elected officials, and a judge, in my opinion, should not be making law. And that's that fatal step when you start having the judiciary unelected in most regards, or appointed person, a single person making a law that everyone has to follow just does not make good common sense. We need to have control over it. We need to have an open discussion. We need to make sure that all parties are involved. When you go to a court and you say, please, judge, do this, what people are in the courtroom? There might be two or three people there.
Yeah,
two
that
or three interests. What about everybody else? And I think that's a major concern, that you should not have judicial creation of laws. You need legislative creation of laws, and that's where I think the discussion needs to take place. From what I understand, there are a number of legislators who are looking into the issue. I haven't seen any proposed legislation yet, but I assume that there will be at some point.
Yeah. Well, we'll be keeping an eye on it, and I really appreciate you helping us kind of sort through it a little bit. That's all the time, though, that we have for this part of the show. But I want to thank Dr. Pamela C., a professor of justice studies and founding faculty member here at Florida Gulf Coast University. Dr. C., thanks so much again for your time. I really appreciate your insights.
Oh, you're very welcome. Be happy to talk to you anytime.
Great, thanks. We're going to take a quick break, but when we return, as World Breastfeeding Week winds down, we're going to spend a few minutes with two women from Lee Health who work to promote the practice of breastfeeding and inform women about the many benefits that come with it. I'm Julie Glenn, and you're listening to Gulf Coast Live. Stay with us.